Columbia Aircraft rejects a bid to keep the company in Bend. GA-friendly FAA legislation moves forward in the U.S. Senate. And a pilot sets a Beach 18 down on I-95 in Florida. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack, here in Atlanta at Charlie Brown Airport, where they're setting up the static display for the NBAA's 60th anniversary convention. So you may hear a little bit of noise, but thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, September 24th, 2007. The Columbia aircraft cliffhanger dragged on through the weekend. ANN has learned the Malaysian majority owners of Columbia have rejected a buyout offer from a team of potential purchasers led by aerospace entrepreneur Granger Whitelaw, best known as CEO of the Rocket Racing League. On Friday, Whitelaw confirmed to ANN his intent to, quote, save Columbia from bankruptcy, operate the company where it stands in Bend with the current workforce intact, and make this company the best in general aviation, unquote. Sources involved in the negotiations tell ANN that Columbia's board elected instead to accept an offer which came with a late Friday deadline from another bidder. And so, Columbia's customers, employees in Bend, Oregon, and anyone who depends on the local economy there are waiting for more news. ANN confirmed last week that Textron, Cessna's parent company, is one of the interested parties for Columbia's assets, but it's not known whether Textron was the winning bidder. The Senate Finance Committee has approved tax authorization for the American Infrastructure and Investment Act. That's legislation designed to provide additional funding to modernize the nation's aviation system. The National Business Aviation Association tells ANN the legislation was approved by the Finance Committee Friday morning as part of Congress's multi-year funding process for the FAA, including an increase in general aviation fuel taxes. NBAA President and CEO Ed Bolin praised committee members, quote, "We agree with the committee that everyone should support the next-gen effort and that the best way for general aviation to contribute is by paying at the pump," unquote. Action in the Senate Finance Committee had been stalled on Thursday by procedural maneuvers related to an Amtrak bonding proposal. The pilot of a Beach 18 was hospitalized in critical condition following a hairy emergency landing Friday along I-95 in Florida. The Orlando Sentinel reports 34-year-old Robert Robertson departed Fort Lauderdale Executive Airport about 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time when his plane lost power and he was unable to maintain altitude. The aircraft clipped a Florida Department of Transportation storage building before coming down in the southbound lanes of I-95 north of the Fort Lauderdale Commercial Boulevard exit. The aircraft came to rest on its side on a grass embankment. Robertson is a pilot for charter operator Monarch Air Group and was reportedly heading to the Bahamas with a load of clothes and shoes. Monarch owner Paul Slavin credited Robertson with handling the situation skillfully, avoiding injuries on the ground. Robertson, though, suffered injuries to his legs, arms, and head, according to the Fort Lauderdale police. He's expected to recover. A U.S. Air Force review has concluded that a June 2007 training accident that claimed the life of the pilot of an Oregon Air National Guard F-15 Eagle fighter jet was caused by spatial disorientation. As ANN reported, the aircraft from the 142nd Fighter Wing at Portland Air Base was participating in a training mission when the aircraft went down in the Pacific Ocean off the Oregon coast. The F-15 was one of the eight Eagles and F-18 Hornets participating in the exercise. The Associated Press quotes military officials as saying 34-year-old Major Gregory Dean Young died on impact about 40 miles west of Cannon Beach. Young was an experienced pilot with more than 2,300 flight hours, including over 750 in the F-15. Young calmly spoke with his wingman seconds before the plane impacted, possibly indicating he did not realize he was in danger. None of the pilot's communications indicated any signs of distress. In its report, the Air Force Air Combat Command noted that clear skies with only scattered clouds may also have contributed to the problem. The AP adds, one of the mission pilots said he watched as Young, who was conscious and looking up, made a controlled descent into the ocean. The report concludes the pilot, quote, was clearly unaware of his position and impacted the water, unquote. Next up on ANN, Congress moves to raise the retirement age for airline pilots. A pilot is dead after his Navion comes down in a restaurant parking lot. And the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter finds reports of water may have been premature. You're listening to Aero News.
Visit Diamond Aircraft at NBAA to experience GA's most exciting complete lineup. Whatever your mission, Diamond Aircraft has the airplane for you. Diamond Aircraft is the only manufacturer to truly offer a complete line of aircraft to take you from your first years as a student through each milestone in your life as a pilot, right up to becoming a jet pilot. From the DA-20, a great first trainer used extensively in flight schools, to the DA-40 series of four-seaters, to the luxurious five-seat high-performance DA-50, to the DA-42 twin-turbo diesel engine aircraft, to the ultimate personal light jet, the D-Jet. Diamond has the aircraft to match your mission. Visit Diamond Aircraft at the Flight Line area at NBAA or booth 4039 to experience GA's most exciting complete lineup.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies and high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for Monday, September 24th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. Here at the NBAA show Static Display at Charlie Brown Airport in Atlanta, I'm Paul Plack. Overshadowed by the user fee implications of the passage of House Resolution 2881 were the implications for commercial airline pilots. 2881 also contains language to raise the mandatory airline pilot retirement age from 60 to 65. As ANN reported, the bill passed the House by a 267 to 151 vote. Southwest Airlines Captain Paul Emmons, who is chairman of the Airline Pilots Against Age Discrimination, told the Chicago Tribune, quote, "We're over another hurdle and on to the next hurdle," unquote. The House plan will have to be reconciled with the Senate's plan, which also includes language to raise the retirement age. But the House vote on H.R. 2881 fell short of the two-thirds majority required to override a promised presidential veto. Emmons notes it could take months for Congress and the White House to hammer out details, and in the meantime, 600 more pilots will be forced to retire. Quote, "We're fighting for the careers of people who are at risk," unquote. An unidentified pilot is dead after crashing a 1947 Navion in the parking lot of McCall's Barbecue and Seafood Restaurant in Clayton, North Carolina. That accident occurred about 10 a.m. Saturday. WRAL-TV reported the aircraft struck the building to the right of the restaurant's main entrance. 10 employees were inside and all have been accounted for uninjured. Witness Patricia Alton, who saw the accident from her nearby apartment, said the aircraft came in hot. Quote, "The engine was wide open," unquote. The restaurant is about 8 miles from the Johnston County Airport in Smithfield, but the aircraft was not based there. The NTSB has reportedly removed the wreckage to a secure location for examination. NASA tells ANN the agency's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter is examining surface mineral deposits to determine whether they were created by water flows, as first thought. Alfred McEwen of the University of Arizona, Tucson, lead scientist for the spacecraft's high-resolution imaging science experiment camera, now believes, quote, "Our evidence suggests the new deposits did not necessarily involve water," unquote. One of the fresh deposits is a stripe of relatively bright material several hundred yards long that was not present in 1999 photos but appeared by 2004. The orbiter's compact reconnaissance imaging spectrometer for Mars reveals the deposit is not frost, ice, or a mineral left behind by evaporation of salty water. Other gullies, however, offer strong evidence of liquid water flowing on Mars within the last few million years, although perhaps at a different phase of repeating climate cycles. Most scientists believe the question of water on Mars is part of answering questions about the possibility of life on Mars. Aero News has learned the Michigan Aerospace Manufacturers Association was recently formed as a strategic initiative to bridge Michigan's manufacturing expertise, experience, and capacity with an accelerated parts demand within the global aerospace industry. MAMA President Gavin Brown explained, quote, "Michigan's manufacturing base possesses many of the most sophisticated and technologically advanced facilities in the nation, and one of the deepest and most talented workforces in the world. These significant assets, coupled with a substantial manufacturing capacity, position Michigan effectively as the go-to resource to meet this growing demand and address the significant manufacturing challenges facing this industry," unquote. MAMA already represents 17 diverse manufacturers across the state. Still ahead, Lockheed Martin's Marietta Wind Tunnel turns the big 4-0. Another Air Force contract award to Boeing is challenged, and AOPA's Air Safety Foundation helps returning military pilots reacclimate. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back from Charlie Brown Airport in Atlanta to wrap up your aero briefing for Monday, September 24th, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. Lockheed Martin celebrated 40 years of aircraft testing in its low-speed wind tunnel last week. On September 20, 1967, the first aircraft test, a crew egress trial for the C-5A Galaxy, was conducted. The Marietta Wind Tunnel has logged nearly 105,000 hours of testing large-scale aircraft models, full-scale automobiles, race cars, and structures such as satellite dish antennas and oil derrick models at wind speeds topping the forces of a Category 5 hurricane. Joe Patrick, manager of model operation and test for Lockheed Martin Aeronautics in Marietta, notes, quote, NASCAR regularly sends top finishing cars here to ensure they meet specifications, unquote. The three F-35 Lightning II Joint Strike Fighter variants, conventional takeoff, short takeoff vertical landing, and naval aircraft carrier, have logged 13,037 hours in the facility so far. The low-speed wind tunnel is a closed-loop system nearly 370 feet long and more than 75 feet wide. Air is moved through the loop by a 39-foot diameter fan powered by a 9,000-horsepower motor. Alabama Aircraft Industries Incorporated announced on Friday its military division, Pemco Aeroplex Incorporated, has filed a bid protest at the U.S. Government Accountability Office. The protest, which was filed on the 19th of September, challenges the actions of the U.S. Air Force in awarding a contract to Boeing Aerospace Operations to provide programmed depot maintenance for KC-135 aircraft. PEMCO believes the award to Boeing violated both applicable law and the rules that the Air Force had established for the competition. Through its bid protest, PEMCO is asking that the Air Force terminate the award to Boeing and redirect the award to PEMCO. The contract has a 5-year base term with 5 additional 1-year options and was awarded on September 10th with an effective date of October 1st. The AOPA Air Safety Foundation conducted a special September 17th showing of the popular safety seminar Say It Right for Army pilots just back from Iraq. Veteran presenter Mark Grady led the seminar, which was donated by the foundation to help support U.S. troops. The Air Safety Foundation arranged the seminar for about 100 helicopter pilots of the 1st Squadron, 17th Cavalry Regiment at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Squadron pilots chose the Say It Right seminar on proper radio communications techniques to help ease their transition back to flight operations in the States. Chief Warrant Officer John McElroy explains the pilots have spent nearly a year in a country where there is very little aviation infrastructure and where the air traffic control system isn't as complex and demanding as in the U.S. Quote, this ASF seminar is a big help for our returning pilots in reinforcing FAA radio communication procedures, unquote. Say It Right was one of two Air Safety Foundation Premier Live seminars for 2006 and drew record crowds of pilots at each showing. The current seminar now touring is FARs, What Every Pilot Should Know. Finally, if you want something big, go to Texas. The first ever Texas venue for the TBM Owners and Pilots Association convention set a new record this month with over 70 aircraft and more than 200 attendees at the event in Horseshoe Bay, September 5th through the 9th. A session on understanding WAAS GPS approaches, new landing gear maintenance solutions, operating tips on the TBM PT6A engine from Pratt & Whitney Canada, as well as a peek into the secrets of the TBM autopilot, were among some of the highlights of the working sessions. Bruce Landsberg, director of AOPA's Air Safety Foundation, covered landmark accidents and trends in GA safety. His presentation was made to a packed house of owners and vendors. The next TBM annual owner convention will be held in Traverse City, Michigan at the Cherry Capital Airport and the Grand Traverse Resort and Spa in September of 2008. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller about the need to commit emergency checklists and departure and arrival procedures to memory. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. Starting tomorrow, we'll have lots of coverage from the NBAA convention in Atlanta. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.